When geese fly in V's. You know when geese fly in V's when they go south? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you know, Ivan, why one line of the V is longer than the other line? All the time. Every time you see one, one line is always longer than the other. Do you know why one line is longer than the other?
No, why is one?
Why? Because there's more geese in it.
You're a mean bitch.
Excuse me?
Nathan, worried or excited?
I'm excited.
Me too.
Daniel, are you worried or excited?
I'm worried. Welcome, everyone,
to Trailer Park Podcast. I am Nathan. He is Daniel. We are cousins.
Tonight's show could possibly blow your mind.
You have to be worried or you have to be excited. You have to choose a side.
Are you sitting down?
I'm sitting down.
My lesbian radar is very strong.
I take back everything I said earlier about puzzle pieces and vision. You can go fuck yourself.
Wish you could hear the sound of my jaw dropping.
Are you listening? Are you fair enough as a person that we should have even ground?
For Christ's sake. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Trailer Park Podcast.
Trailer Park Podcast 63, Daniel.
63, Andrew, or should I call you Mr. Riches?
Whatever floats your boat is good with me. How are you doing today?
Oh, great, Andy, great.
That, almost acceptable, but not quite.
Oh, I can't, that can't float my boat.
No, Andy, that's okay. I won't call you Dan.
Oh, okay, yeah, we have to be careful, don't we?
We'll start off on the wrong note. We do have a special guest, though, that we'd like to introduce.
Well, not so special.
Well, former intern.
Oh, of course. Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. Ivan.
Hello.
How are you doing today, Ivan?
I'm doing well. I'm happy to be here. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm super, actually. Thank you very much. I feel victorious, actually. That's the feeling I have today. We also have a new temporary intern, and I feel like we can refer to him as Krill for this episode.
Yeah, temporary as in barely competent, so probably won't be around long.
Mm-hmm. Right. This is going to be very short-lived. Krill, how are you doing today?
Hey, guys. I'm doing great. How are you?
Oh, can you clean something? Jesus, Krill.
Yeah, that's a little slow. A little slow on the talking there. We're going to move along.
Yeah.
I'm sure he'll pipe up and down.
Yeah.
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 All right. 63, Daniel. Did you want to know anything special about 63? I feel like we need to talk about the number 63.
I feel like we've been skipping out on some of these numbers, but we should be determining sexual positions based on each and every number.
Each and every number. Why don't you fill us in on what a 63 is then?
A 63 is... where one person lays on their back and the other person curls up in a fetal position and lays on top of them and then just sort of purses their mouth like a fish toward their genitals, never making actual contact.
Okay. Perfect. Did you know, though, that 63 stands for victory? It has an affinity to penguins. And if you segregate the numbers, 6 stands for redemption and 3 stands for glory. So this is a victorious redemption and glorious number.
Is that redemption divided by glory equals victorious?
That's right. It's the atomic number of europium.
From Europe? Or
yeah.
Europa, Europa the moon.
The moon, yeah. The moon is what it would have been named after. M63 is a sunflower galaxy.
My favorite galaxy.
And the Stoner 63 is the type of machine gun that Krill's going to use to kill himself later this episode.
Oh, Krill.
Yep.
All talking about killed himself.
Yep.
So sad.
The last thing here is that it's the number of chromosomes found in the offspring of a donkey and a horse, as well as the temporary intern.
Ooh, I don't have like a little cymbal crash.
Okay. Let's move on here. There's
I love donkeys and horses.
That I believe you.
I like.
What about horses? Do you like, intern?
I like to have sex with them.
You can't just jump there, intern. You have to give us time to come in and say a couple of cock jokes.
You have to build up to the horse, though. You can't start with the horse. You have to start with the donkey. I've learned. Outside my trailer park here in Vernon, there is a field with donkeys. I've been practicing, and I'm building up to the horse. I see one that I like. It's a paint. It looks nice. It's got smooth hair.
Would you say that your panties get moist?
Well, I say that my pants are already wet when I'm looking at it. It's usually after I've been visiting with a donkey that I stare longingly at the paint horse.
And think one day.
It has a very full bowel movements that attract me as well.
One day, intern. You got to put in your 10,000 hours first.
Yep. Okay. Yep.
So, moving along. Does anyone want to guess what movies came out in 1963?
Ooh, 1963. That would be no clue.
No clue? Well, we could...
Bum, 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 bum.
No is a clue.
Doctor
No.
Doctor No.
Yeah.
You were supposed to do a melody with me.
Oh, sorry. Intern, I just kind of ignore you.
Let's try again. Bum 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 bum
bum
bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum
bum bum.
This wasn't How the West Was Won.
Oh.
But Cleopatra also came out.
So Star Trek? Is that what this is?
Star Trek. That was a Dr. No reference, the musical interlude. Bond.
No, go ahead.
That's about it.
The Great Escape?
The
Great Escape. You're going to leave The Great Escape on the table? What kind of a host are you?
Well, if I have that on here, I could include 8.5.
Cleopatra, The Birds, Come Blow Your Horn. These are important movies.
I said Cleopatra.
Whoa. What was that last one?
Come Blow Your Horn. It sounds like porn, but I doubt it is.
Yeah, 1960.
Also,
the famous year where they nominated a porn.
Did I do my homework? Yeah, I did my homework. Are you referring to the 63rd Academy Awards?
Yeah. What happened?
What year was that, intern?
That was 1991. That was the year that Franca Squarsapino won for costume design for Cyrano de Bergerac.
Oh, Christ.
See what else here. Art direction, Dick Tracy.
Hey, deserved.
Hey. Can we do a Dick Tracy impression? Anybody?
Intern, have you seen Dick Tracy?
Have I seen Dick Tracy? Oh, yeah. Yes. Absolutely.
Okay,
Dustin, good. Sorry. I didn't realize you were talking to me.
Get on board.
Mumbles. Dustin Hoffman is Mumbles. And
it's great.
Big Boy Caprice, Al Pacino.
Yeah.
Oh.
It gets a weird rap, but it's... I love Dick Tracy.
Fucking fantastic. What else here? What else random? Let's go to the sound editing and stuff. That's what I'm supposed to do, right?
Come on, Krill. Let's go.
Oh, okay. You want me to stay on point? Okay. Let's see here. Jeremy Irons won Best Actor for Reversal of Fortune. Joe Pesci won for God... Or for Goodfellas. Hey.
He is God, though.
Andy Garcia was nominated for The Godfather, all right? I tripped him up.
Yeah.
Get my shine box.
Oh, Al Pacino was nominated for Dick Tracy. That's awesome. But yeah, Joe Pesci won. Deservedly so. That character in Goodfellas is probably his best.
His defining role.
Yeah, second to Casino. Same character. Kathy Bates won for Misery. Fucking fantastic.
Well-deserved, yeah.
Well-deserved. She was up against Julia Roberts for Pretty Woman. I'm sure everybody was like, ooh.
Oh, no, the right person won, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Whoopi Goldberg won for Ghost, actress in a supporting role.
Was that before or after Theodore Rex, where she buddies up with a dinosaur cop?
Pretty sure Theodore Rex happened after. And Best Picture was Dances with Wolves. Best Director was Kevin Costner for Dances with Wolves. I try to picture Mel Gibson and Kevin Costner having drinks with each other over the whole Dances with Wolves Braveheart thing. It's like, it kind of feels like the same thing, right? Like same thing happened? No?
I don't know. Yeah, they should have shared it.
Yeah, boring, long, drawn-out period pieces. Actors who became directors winning Oscars.
Braveheart Braveheart is has less boring in it than Dances with Wolves, although that might be the better, I don't know, actually.
I just watched Dances with Wolves. Not that long ago. I didn't mind it. I was expecting it to be much more long and boring because I remembered that when I was younger, not being able to get through it.
No, it's good. Yeah.
But when you compare it to, The Deer Hunter, I feel like Dances with Wolves is a much superior movie than The Deer Hunter.
Yeah, Ivan, Deer Hunter has Full Metal Jacket Syndrome.
Ivan, I feel like I can talk to you. I feel like you're the one that I can talk to right now.
How so?
I just want to explain to you what just happened to me. When Andrew just spoke about watching Dances with Wolves recently and started talking about his experience with it, I had this like bile rise up in the back of my throat. Like, I wanted to attack him and tear him
that's
down.
That's about it.
And I...
There we go. I couldn't do it.
So, it's time for the grab bag.
Oh, that sad sack. Get in that sad sack.
I'm going to get in this sad sack here, guys. And...
Sounds so crisp. So, bumping it against... Yeah.
Jerking off. Like that is a beating off noise.
Yeah, he just wrapped a single envelope around his penis and jerked off to completion.
So, Daniel, Mystery Science Theater 3000 raised $5.7 million with Kickstarter and will join Netflix for 14 episodes. They're going to be joined with original cast and a few newbies.
Yep, few newbies.
And the writers, Dan Harmon and Joe McHale from Community, are going to be writing.
Oh yeah, you know, this is going to be fun. I mean, this is a perfect kind of thing to remake. It's just about riffing on bad movies, and this was a great concept. A lot of people are attached to this, myself included. Actually, I'm extremely attached to this. I have a wealthy Mystery Science Theater collection.
Mitchell,
and I'm excited. Like I know Jonah Ray, who's playing the new main guy on the show. Jonah Ray is a comedian. He's part of the Nerdist podcast. He's
from The League.
He has a show on called Meltdown on Comedy Central that's about their Meltdown comic store. That is both a comic store and a stand-up comedy space that they also record their podcast in. And if you remember from the Bing commercials, he was the Bing sponsor for a while.
It's nerds being nerds doing nerdy things.
Yeah, it's the ultimate dream. God, if I actually had a moment there where I was like, they should have picked me.
now we just need to get some donkeys involved. Am I right?
That would make you happy, wouldn't it,
bro?
It helped towards the 10,000 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. If you use both hands, it's like 5,000.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
But a separate donkey dick each hand, though. Just be
double
clear.
Dip.
Yeah, double dip that dick. That donkey
dick. Okay. Jumping in for number two, this sack here.
Get in there. You can take your pants off first. Nathan always gets naked.
From the sounds of it, they're already off.
He's just sort of stomping his way out.
Sounds like a measured, it's a measured entry.
Yeah, you only got about knee deep on that one. Don't fool yourself.
This was closer to the top of the sack.
Second one always is.
So Brad Pitt wants to do Fight Club 2 and is trying to convince Edward Norton to do it after the comic book came out last year. But Norton appears to be not up for returning to the spotlight, but will hear out David Fincher on the sequel option that the studios are jumping over to make happen. What do you think about that?
The studios, I don't know. The studios must know. I mean, the urge to jump all over and get excited is definitely there, but you must know. A sequel to a movie like that, this far gone, the only chance it has is if it goes in like a really bizarre direction. It can't just be like, oh, I guess we're just going to live my life as a person with multiple personalities.
Has anyone read the comic?
No.
No.
Was it written by Chuck Palahniuk?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was co-written. I can't, or yeah, maybe it was fully written.
It would depend entirely on the content, no?
Right. I think if he was involved creatively, it might have more footing.
I don't know. Palahniuk didn't have a lot of success doing anything else other than the one thing.
That's true.
Oh, I don't know. He's very well known, and there's a lot of people that like all of his garbage. I feel like he's a very poor writer.
He is a poor writer, but he does one thing really well, which is relate stories that he gathers when he travels around. And his books that are anthologies of the stories that he picks up, those are great. His fiction, this is an instance where the movie is actually better than the book.
I bought a book.
Much better.
Yeah, that's like, yeah, this Fight Club stands out as one of the only examples of that. And I bought a book called Survivor by Chuck Palahniuk, and I started reading it, and it just, I feel like it's the Fight Club dialogue in my head. Like, that's just his style. That's just how he writes.
Yeah, it's, kind of, it's got a weird style that doesn't really, it's a hit or miss.
Yeah, like a solipsist type thing, like a Henry Rollins solipsist, except not as good.
Right.
So nobody's excited. We'll leave it at that. I'm dipping in for the third and final thing.
I find the most interesting thing about that story is that Brad Pitt is begging Edward Norton to come back to do it. And Edward Norton's like, meh, fuck it. Don't really care. Occasionally I'll
do a
West End.
Brad Pitt wants some money.
Yeah, maybe. I don't think Brad Pitt needs money. I think it's more like Edward Norton just sits there and like, oh, Wes Anderson wants to do a movie? It's fun hanging out with him and doing movies with him, so I'll go and do that. And, oh, Birdman. Great script. That sounds like fun. I think I'll do that role. He just does whatever he wants to do. Fucking Edward Norton's the fucking bomb.
We're going to do a American History X I.
Yeah, they should do a sequel to American History X. And then and then Andrew can just like come in his pants.
Mm.
I would enjoy, I don't know what they would do. It seems so
you'd like
Furlong's
that.
Dead.
Apparently, but, anytime you mention
like
the word.
If Andrew came in his pants, you'd like that, wouldn't you, Krill?
anytime you mention Nazis, Andrew's like, oh, well, American History X did it better.
Yeah, that's because that's one of the better movies made. Anyway, dipping in. Third and final thing in the bag.
Hey, grab it with your butt if you have to.
Oh, this relates to our headliner. Did you know, Daniel and Ivan, that there is a petition to shut down Rotten Tomatoes after overwhelmingly bad critic reviews over our headliner?
Yeah.
When I read this, there was over 7,000 signatures to shut down Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, what's that right now? 38%?
That's a good question. Intern, can you find out what the percentage is on Rotten
Intern,
Tomatoes?
I'm on it.
People, let go of that donkey dick.
I'm on it.
No, he can hold on to the donkey dick and just use his other hand.
Yeah, don't forget about your hours. Keep one hand on a dick at all times.
You need that ambidexterity to go a long way, buddy.
Yeah.
You said that so weird.
29.
Yeah, what do you think about this?
29% currently.
Suicide Squad must have a really strong fan base if that's the case, because Batman vs. Superman was doing real bad at the beginning as well with critic reviews.
Still is.
Yeah, it's still being shat on by wherever place I'm listening to. I think what I've been hearing is that Suicide Squad is kind of more of the same. I've heard a lot of talk about Justice League being surprisingly different.
Oh. Yeah, we'll find out, and we'll get there. I guess we don't need to talk much more about it because it is our headliner, and we're going to discuss that.
We're going to get deep
after we watch the trailer.
Great,
but,
great,
Daniel,
great hosting instincts.
I have some questions for you.
What do you have for me?
Some questions,
Daniel. There are some really important questions that Nathan needs to ask you.
All right, so we're going to play a little Would You Rather.
My favorite.
Original.
except I'm just going to give you all the options.
What? What do you mean all
so this
the
is going to be, how would you rather die?
Oh, Jesus.
Oh. So, we've got A, with a boomerang.
Okay.
F, donkey
B.
dick.
This is a question for me, intern.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. Krill backing down.
B, a malfunctioning gun.
Clearer, please. Like, it goes off in your pocket, or you go to shoot yourself in the head, but it doesn't go off until you look at it like a cartoon.
Let's say that it goes off when you stick it down the front of your pants.
Oh, why you gotta blow your dick off?
C, you get mind possessed and beat yourself up with a giant hammer.
Oh, that sounds terrible.
D, you turn into a crocodile and choke to death eating the temporary intern.
Oh, I like that one.
Or E, you get made fun of for having the name Rick Flag and die.
What? What does that even mean?
That's someone's name.
Why is there no animals involved in that option? I like the crocodile one. I feel like I have to choke down most of what the intern says anyway.
Right. How about you, Ivan?
Rick Flag, we mean?
Right.
Feel it? What does that mean?
Is that just like shame death? Something like the intern might experience?
I feel like he's trying to cleverly name a would you rather associated with each member of the Suicide Squad.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's what's happening.
I don't know them.
Okay, well.
You'll find out.
I guess I'll beat myself with a giant hammer.
With a giant hammer. It's fantastic.
I'm going to beat myself with a giant hammer.
To death.
Oh.
Okay. Next up, we're going to have a choice. There's going to be different choices for each person here.
What about my choice? I choose F, donkey dick.
Donkey dick.
Death
of
by
you do.
death by donkey dick.
You'll get a choice in this next one for sure.
Yeah, doing what he loved.
You're going to get to choose the person you'd like to play the most in Suicide Squad. I'm going to give you two options for each person.
Krill.
So, Daniel,
killing it.
Your first option is Monster T.
Krillin' it.
Or Naughty Waitress.
Wait, who's Monster T? Is he like the boxing crocodile?
He's the flamethrower guy. He's the guy that shoots flames out of his mouth.
He's like the gangster stereotype?
Who's the waitress?
A Naughty Waitress.
He's okay. He's the chick with the different colored hair.
Naughty Waitress is just a naughty waitress.
Yeah, she just walks up to tables and goes, did you order two of these? And her tits plop out.
She's the black one.
Oh,
wow. Why did you have to go and make this racial, intern? I'm always doing something like that.
Ivan said it, okay? I'm krilling it.
Just krill. Just krill out, okay? Just krill out.
I'm totally krilling right now.
Oh, we need some music. So which one, Daniel?
I'm going to go, I guess, gangster flamethrower.
Monster T. All right, Ivan, you're up. Would you rather be the injured civilian or American hostage?
Oh, I feel like those are krill options. Like, yeah. I don't know what's coming for me, but those seem like they're pretty low on the poll.
Injured civilian.
Yeah. Injured civilian. Mm-hmm. Just can't be American, hey?
No, no, no.
Just grab your knee, like.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, to be fair,
people then just feel pity for me.
Yeah.
Right. All right. Krill, your options are Hispanic man or big, ugly Navy SEAL.
Careful, racist.
I am going to go. I'm going to have to go with Donkey Dick.
You're gonna be donkey dick. Okay.
Damn it.
Ruining games as always.
I'm krilling it right now. Huh? What do you want me to be? You want me to be the big ugly Navy SEAL? Is that what you want me to be? What do you want me to be, Andrew?
I want you to be the number one Krilla.
It is taking a lot of effort not to call you by your real name.
It's difficult.
What do you want me to be? What do you want me to be?
Calling him Mr. Riches.
Do you want me to bend over? You want me to take it?
No, you can be donkey dick. It's okay.
You want me to be donkey dick? Fine, I'll be donkey dick. Totally cruel.
Fantastic. Let's get into some trailers, guys.
Oh, you want to watch a trailer?
I do. Our first trailer tonight is Suicide Squad, if you haven't guessed. Starring everyone.
Suicide Squad. Here, before we start, have you guys seen the latest poster for Suicide Squad? Where it's like really beautiful graffiti art exploding out of a concrete wall, but then just really lazy photoshopped images of their actual faces just put into the artwork. It's really bad. Anyway, Suicide Squad. Here we go.
I was checking some work, but I finally have them.
The worst of the worst.
Where?
Let's just say I put him in a hole and threw away the hole.
There's rumors, Amanda, that some of them have abilities.
Oh, yeah. I have seen things. Maybe Superman was some kind of beacon for them to creep back from the shadows. I want to assemble a task force of the most dangerous people on the planet who I think can do some good.
They're bad guys.
Exactly. And if anything goes wrong, we blame them. We have built-in deniability.
What makes you think you can control them?
Because getting people to act against their own self-interest is what I do for a living.
The world.
Andrew, lead us off here. Suicide Squad, worried or excited?
Oh, I have mixed feelings. I'm excited because I enjoy comic books. I'm excited because I enjoy Harlequin. This looks like they're running in the same direction as Batman versus Superman, which had a couple moments that were great and was overall disappointing. I know the temporary intern might spin a different story here. I'm probably going to go watch this right away, but I'm worried. I'm worried with the direction that DC is taking their movies.
So worried.
Mm-hmm.
I thought we'd been waiting around this whole time just for this trailer and a worried.
Yep, it's true. Moving on. Ivan, are you worried or excited?
I was worried. When it first came out, like all the first trailers, but now I'm excited. I like this trailer.
It was a better one. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Actually, talking to the intern earlier, we were talking about David Ayer,
yep,
the director, and his comments at the premiere where he said a certain something about a certain other company. But he was talking in an interview after that. And he was saying that the direction that this movie, his intention for this one, and what I think the trailer really portrayed was that it was a lot more focused on the characters and how he was trying to show their like solitude and what they were dealing with and how they would either rise up to the occasion or they would fail.
Fuck Marvel!
And putting it in that perspective and seeing this trailer, it made me kind of excited because it is a different direction than what Marvel's been doing, where it's just a lot of flash.
A lot of happy jokes.
Yeah,
a lot of formula.
A lot of smiles.
Yeah.
Well, DC is the story-based comic book company.
Mm-hmm. I've never seen you before. What's your name? Oh, you're Spider-Man? Oh, let's fight.
Yeah, like I love most of the Marvel movies, and I'm nowhere near as harsh on the DC movies as people are. Like, people just get weird and aggressive with Zack Snyder and Superman or Man of Steel and Batman versus Superman. I honestly don't really have many complaints about Man of Steel other than maybe Kevin Costner.
Fantastic. So tell us how you feel then, Daniel. Are you worried or excited about Suicide Squad?
It was miscast. It was miscast. Kevin Costner should have been Nicolas Cage.
It just shouldn't have been written weird like it was. What was Ivan's final verdict?
Oh, I was excited.
Excited.
Yes.
I'll agree that this is a better trailer, and that's not uncommon. Often, you will find the better trailer of a movie that you've been on the fence about here on Trailer Park Podcast. That just goes to the quality of what we present to you here. Mm-hmm. That said, I am still also worried. There's two people that have to win me over in this movie. That's Will Smith and Jared Leto, and I don't feel like either one is doing it. Hopefully I'm wrong, and hopefully this franchise can find its footing and some sort of tone and style and can stick to it and like just start cranking out some real solid stories as opposed to constantly worrying about what people are thinking about them. But yeah, I'm gonna have to go worried.
Which leaves us to Krill.
Trailer number two.
Trailer number two. What are you thinking, temporary intern?
I feel like this movie,
you say Donkey Dick, I swear to God,
has all of the best superhero scenes in the trailer. Ooh. And that I am not, I am going to see this on opening night, but am not going to enjoy it, but will go again to the theater to watch it another time anyway.
That seems excessive. Can't even retain what you're saying because of the way you're saying it.
I feel like all of the best parts of this movie are already in the trailer, and I am not going to enjoy it, but I am excited.
So it's like a comedy.
Okay, so
it's bullshit.
All right, the official Krill stamp is that, I'm excited about Suicide Squad. I'm going to tell you why. Fuck Marvel. I'm going to tell you that their formula that they've got out there, that they keep chewing out these movies, that critics just keep delivering 90% reviews to on Rotten Tomatoes, they've been trained. They've been trained. They've been brainwashed. They've been manipulated. This is all bullshit. I went and saw Batman v Superman, and they gave it a fucking 30%. Are you kidding me? I thought at worst 60 to 70%. At worst. It was decent.
Take out the dream sequences, it probably would have been pretty good.
It was decent. Yeah. And it was fun. And the only people it offended was Batman fanatics that have sticks shoved up their asses.
Mm-hmm.
Reach it.
It was different, which is nice.
It was different. It's not following the same formula. It's just different. I wasn't a big Man of Steel fan, but I enjoyed Batman v Superman. And people shat on it. Unfairly. Critics are attacking. There's a reason why there's a petition out there, because critics have been trained to say something positive about Marvel and to shit on DC. I'm on DC's side. Fuck Marvel. I'm excited.
So just so you guys know, DC's highest rated movie, or the highest rated comic book movie, is a DC movie.
I'm Krilling it.
Which one?
It's The Dark Knight.
Yeah, there you go. People forget that's fucking DC.
Yeah, we didn't even have a conversation about the whole Leto Ledger controversy. Is there a controversy?
I haven't had a
yet?
Problem with Jokers in the past. This is going to be a tough one.
Right? So, no, there's going to be a controversy over the whole Ledger Leto thing. Just shit on this movie and throw it under the rug and forget that it matters.
Leto apparently wants to play Joker 3 or 4 more times.
Well, he might get to in the Batman standalone movies that Affleck's going to make.
Yeah. Okay.
What's next?
Trailer number two is Bloodfather. We get to see some Mel Gibson.
Directing or acting?
Acting.
Ooh, Mel Gibson acting. Okay. Is it Bloodfather?
Mm-hmm.
Bloodfather. Here we go.
That's your little girl?
Why? Have you seen her? Missing link tattoo.
Dad, you're a fucked up daughter.
Well, where the hell are you? Can I help you, gentlemen?
Want tattoos?
Nah, come back tomorrow.
What if I wanted her name? Lydia.
Why don't you all fuck off?
Don't you fucking turn your back on me, Wood!
I'm gonna get blamed for this breaking parole.
Karen.
Hang on! For those who don't know me, my name's John Lee. And I'm a real success story.
I don't have to take you down with me.
About all I know is running. Surviving. I wasn't there for you, baby. There's nothing I can even say. Except I'm sorry.
Ivan, why don't you kick this one off? Blood Father, worried or excited?
Mel Gibson is back, and I'm excited. Yeah, that's all I'm gonna say.
You don't want to shout out some. You don't want to give us some anti-Semitic remarks or anything while you're doing it.
Oh no, I'll leave those to him in the movie. I'm sure they'll show up, and I'll love it.
You're just Ivan. You're just krilling it right now. Give me a high five. Yeah.
Wow.
Mel Gibson gets to have one of these, right? Aged action hero movies, they all get one, right? And Mel Gibson certainly deserves one as well. Beard looks good on him. His wrinkles are settling in nicely. Sometimes they're not so nice to actors, Robert Redford. But it looks kind of cheesy. Gangsters with tattooed faces. He has to get revenge for his daughter or whatever. I think that's close to what was happening. Like explosions, shotguns, setting off traps, killing people. Sure, why not? I'm excited.
Yeah, Mel Gibson's version of Taken, I'm also on board. I think that the great thing about Mel Gibson is that when he looks like he's going crazy, it's because he's actually crazy and he can draw on real life experience.
He's intense.
So it's going to be good. I'm looking forward to Mel Gibson's intensity, yeah.
So definitely excited from you.
Yeah, and so Krill, let's hear some, you know, anti-Semitic drivel.
Donkey dicks.
I feel like this trailer already shows you all of the intense action scenes.
No way.
And that there won't be any other action scenes in the movie to get excited about.
No.
Wow.
You want me to lay down the krill on this? I'm going to lay down the krill. I'm going to tell you, gentlemen of Trailer Park Podcast, that this is what he should be doing, right? You get drunk, you get pulled over, you say some shit about Jews, shit goes south, you get a voicemail recorded where you're calling some young chick, you're banging a bitch. And things look pretty bleak. So what do you do? What do? You go out and you direct a war movie called Hacksaw Ridge coming out this fall. And you star in a movie about a fucked up guy, right? A life, an imperfect person. Not a perfect William Wallace Braveheart guy. Someone who's flawed.
Majorly, a man out for redemption.
Majorly flawed. Right. A man out for redemption. Because no one knows who you are. No one knows who Mel Gibson is. They just know him as Martin Riggs or William Wallace. They don't know him as anybody.
No, only Mel knows Mel.
Right. Right. Yeah. And he's really going down under with this. He's getting down under inside of himself. And he's laying down some serious redemption on screen. And I think this is, you know, you need to do this a couple times, though. You can't just do one. You gotta go back to back with a few redemption-based characters. And you got to drive the point home if you want to reestablish yourself as, you know, that great. Because Mel Gibson was a great movie star? Should he be sentenced by this nonsense where he talked shit about Jews? He made Passion of the Christ, like, for fuck's sake.
He's not actively preventing Jews from doing anything. He's not like a monster. He's just a little bit of a bigot, a little bit.
He got drunk. He drove. He said some stupid shit. He got drunk again. He said some stupid shit about a young woman. He ruined his marriage. He ruined his life. Isn't that? Yeah. I'm sure he's gone through enough. Let's cut him some slack and let him come back because he's an awesome actor. And I love movies with Mel Gibson in them from the past. Why can't I love them in the future? Fuck this. I'm excited. Bloodfather. Let's do it.
Also, stay tuned for future podcasts of Mel Knows Mel.
Mel Knows Mel. It's just him playing off himself in a twin role. Actually, there's four of them, like in Multiplicity. All excited. Okay, back on top.
All right. Are you ready for...
the best part?
The fulcrum. The reason that everyone else gets to get up and leave, but why we're still here together, Daniel.
As we always are.
The third horror entry today is called Morgan.
Morgan?
Morgan.
That's my brother's name. All right, Morgan, here we go.
Very happy to have you here, Lee.
I imagine that's not exactly true.
Doctor, this is Lee Weathers from corporate.
I'm just looking for some information about Morgan.
Morgan was our third attempt, our little breakthrough.
It's the next step in evolution. It's bioengineered with synthetic DNA.
Within a month, walking and talking. Within 6 months, it exceeded our wildest expectations.
I'd like to discuss the incident, if that's okay.
She had a tantrum. There was joy in her heart before we shoved her back in that box.
You're feeling a little sad, Morgan?
Yes.
Do you like it here?
Yes.
What do you like about it?
I like my friends.
Do you think they treat you like a friend?
I mean, you think it's normal for friends to lock each other in cages?
What would you do if I recommended that you should not be allowed to leave this room? What if I recommended that you be terminated?
We should end this.
Answer me! What would you do?
Where's Morgan?
Initiating lockdown.
What you don't understand is...
10.
Morgan is still evolving.
9.
The people in this house are in danger.
8.
It needs to be terminated.
7. 6.
Don't be afraid.
5. 4. 3. No! 2. 1.
I'm starting to feel like myself.
All right, Daniel, let's lay it down. Are you worried or excited for Morgan?
For Morgan.
Hashtag what is Morgan?
Hashtag what is Morgan? Morgan is a larger budget remake of a movie called Splice that has, for all intents and purposes, the exact same plot. Lab that's hard on its luck needs to produce some sort of innovation. They're working on some sort of genetic splicing evolutionary bioform, and when they get backs against the wall, one of the main scientists takes some of his like girlfriend's DNA and injects it with the goop they've been playing with, and it makes like a hybrid female baby. And then that baby grows up and all the identical shit happens. Like, oh, she's kind of more violent than we expected. Nope, she's still changing and there's things about her we don't know. Oh my God, oh my God. But I like Splice. It's a weird little underrated movie that has some crazy moments in it that you won't find anywhere else. This, oddly, I should be at odds with this movie since it's so very, very similar, but it looks like it's pretty well done. I think I'd be engaged for this. Oh, yeah, sure. I'll go excited.
Wow. So it looks like Sad Sack picked the right trailer. It's so rare that you get excited for a horror movie.
It's because it's you, Andrew. It's because it's you.
Hmm. All right, let's move around the table here. Let's maybe we'll jump along to Krill.
No.
Oh, you're handing this off. My bad.
Yeah, Ivan.
I'm curious. I've seen Splice as well, and I actually didn't mind that. It didn't scare me as much as I thought it would. And I'm curious about this one as well. I want to know. I mean, you can probably guess what happens in it, but I still want to know what happens. So yeah, I'm excited as well. I think this
Morgan.
Could be good. Andrew, excited to work.
Anya Taylor-Joy is like one of my new favorite actresses.
Really?
She was in The Witch, which I enjoyed. It was like one of my favorite movies.
The Witch Witch?
The Witch. The Vivitch.
She was the daughter.
And she's Morgan now. And I feel like her world's going to be opening up to great roles here. This looks like another lucky pick for her, which is going to showcase her moving forward as hopefully a great actress. But I'm very interested. This looks like it was really well done. I wanna watch it. If it comes out in Vernon Armstrong area, I'll be watching it for sure, although that is unlikely.
It's funny, Texas also has a shit town called Vernon. What bothers me a little bit is that they made her look like she looks good and she looks creepy. They've like just altered her features just enough to make her a little bit off-putting, but she looks exactly how they did in Splice, like the same. They have the same look.
You know, she looks a little strange. Her features are a little enlarged in real life.
Yeah, they did the same thing in Splice. They like pulled the ears back a little bit, like made the eyes a little bit farther apart, so it looks a little alien.
She also had a tail in Splice.
Eventually, yeah.
Yeah, right.
What the creepy shit in Splice that I'm talking about is that because the lab scientist guy puts his girlfriend's DNA into this thing, once it grows into like a relatively attractive, slender woman, he starts to like see mannerisms of his girlfriend in this hybrid life form and starts to like fall in love with it. But he's also been raising it like his daughter, so it has this incestual tone to it. It's crazy.
Mm. Are you also excited to see Paul Giamatti get ripped apart?
Telekinetically?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love a good Giamatti death scene.
Yeah, something that everyone can look forward to.
What was he
expecting? And that leaves Krill here.
I feel like...
Let's take it down.
I feel like horror movies are disappointing and pieces of absolute shit. But seriously,
that's
folks.
Good.
Seriously, folks. Let's talk about Morgan, shall we? And not Morgan Carver, Morgan the movie. And in Morgan the movie, what we have here is we have Ridley Scott taking an idea, from Splice that received a 5.8 on IMDb and improving it, making it better, making it worthy of watching. I've never seen Splice. I never will. I'm excited about Morgan, though, because it has Ridley Scott producing it. So, I mean, we all know how great The Martian is. So, you know, obviously, Morgan is going to make me come inside my pants. I'm excited.
Okay, there it is. Yeah, I was waiting for it. Coming to my pants excited.
Mm-hmm.
Big old donkey dick excited.
Fourth trailer.
All right, so the epic of all epics, Ben-Hur.
Ben-Hur. Here we go.
No matter where you're from, this ship is your body. That drum is your heartbeat.
And your god is the glory of Rome.
Pray for impact.
How long were you a slave?
5 years.
What is your name?
Ben-Hur. My family was one of the most respected in Jerusalem. Welcome home.
Please, I need you to tell me who one's enemies are.
Masala, I won't name names. Until we were betrayed. By my own brother.
Masala!
You know we've done nothing wrong.
Rome's calling for blood. Crucified.
No!
The world you live in is Rome's. Their laws, their power.
I won't let Masala go unpunished for what he's done to us. Our mother and sister. Was it a quick death?
Go, go, go!
Coward!
My family, they deserve justice for what's happened to them.
There is a way. In the arena, there is no law. Racing is a blood sport. If you lose, you die. If your brother is the pride of Rome, defeat him and you'll defeat an empire. Then you will have your vengeance.
You have a voice. People would follow you. I would follow you.
Go! Go! Go!
Should have stayed away.
You should have killed me.
I will.
Remember, first to finish,
last to die.
Stand and fight! Stand up now!
Feel like grilling it. Grill? Worried or excited about Ben-Hur?
I feel like...
Jesus.
I'll tell you what I feel like. I feel like there's a lot of topics involved in this. A, the actor they chose to be Ben-Hur was a bold decision.
Couldn't keep track of him.
He's the guy that was in Boardwalk Empire with the, like, half of his face was gone.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Jack Houston is his name, and it's a bold choice. I like Jack Houston. I'm cheering for him. I'm in his cheering section. But he lined up against such odds. Ben-Hur is one of those movies. And it's not a part of our generation, but you talk to the right people, and this movie offends the shit out of people. A while back, we had an episode where we talked about nostalgia being threatened and being attacked, and this movie, if you show this trailer to Chelsea's stepfather, he'd be disgusted. He'd just be absolutely disgusted that they're going anywhere near Ben-Hur, making a 123-minute remake of a 3-hour and 32-minute epic that changed people's lives and formulated parts of their childhood. It's a crazy decision, and it feels like it's gonna fall flat on its face. It feels like MGM just took their property and renewed it, maybe like old school Fantastic Four style, just to keep the rights. Like, does this feel like they're just doing it for the sake of doing it? I don't know what the point of doing this is. It's just going to offend too many people, and the people that it won't offend are the people that won't give a fuck about it. And anyone who does watch it from our generation is going to compare it to Gladiator, and Gladiator was fucking Ridley Scott, and you know that he makes me come in my pants. I'm worried. I'm fucking worried about Ben-Hur, but yay, way to go, Jack Houston.
Well said.
Wow. This looks like Fast and the Furious.
I'm grilling it.
Got a hold of it and decided to do this. You know what's going to suck is that it's going to make as much money as Transformers. They'll probably make a sequel.
Ben-Hur 2.
Ben-Hurried. I'm worried. I'm Transformers Fast and the Furious worried.
Yeah, those are all good equivalents to what they're showing here. There's like... Pretty sure at one point there was like 80s rock, like metal playing in the background, and even though everything's grandiose, it all is grandiose in that sort of empty computer graphics way where you're like, oh, it looks big, but it's just a dude in a room being silly.
You should watch trailer 2.
Yeah, and for a second I was drawn in because some of the chariot racing looked incredibly violent. But you're right. In this case, I would actually go back and just watch maybe some clips of the original Ben-Hur, where you know that at the credits, it's somewhere in tiny print, there's like 165 horses died during the making of this movie. Because it was practical. They gave their life for their art. Yeah, I am also worried about this. I couldn't, even though I do like the character Nathan is referencing from Boardwalk Empire, I could not keep track of him. Every other white dudes with short brown hair kept popping in the scene, and I was like, is that him? Is that Ben-Hur? Is that Ben? So, yeah, I don't know. Worried.
Ivan.
I find it funny that Krill brought up Fantastic Four, because Masala, his brother, played Dr. Doom in the most recent reboot of Fantastic Four.
Oh my god, Victor Von Emo Dune?
Yeah.
You watched that?
Unfortunately, I did. I bleached my eyes afterward, don't worry.
I watched it as well. I watched 75% of it. It was actually, this is one time where people weren't overreacting.
No, that's exactly like that. Franchise needs to die and be reborn under Marvel, I suppose.
Yeah. No, it just needs to not. It's the worst comic book idea. Fantastic Four sucks.
I could do Fantastic Four. I hear a lot of shitting on Fantastic Four, like how ridiculous Mr. Fantastic's powers are. And I'm like, when I was a kid, I thought his powers were awesome.
I just want to be able to stretch all over the place, you know?
Stretch all over the place. Like, I don't have to move. I can just sit here and reach all the way downstairs. Oh, I'm so lazy. I can take advantage of this power.
And you're not going to get fat from it because you just remold your body.
Exactly. You just squeeze that into muscles. Or into a bigger dick, a donkey dick. Am I right, girl?
Oh.
All right. We're heading to real life comedy, War Dogs. Yeah. Settle down, Krill.
Yeah, Krill out. War Dogs, was it?
Yes.
War Dogs. Here we go.
Frankly, we were a tad concerned with your performance history against a deal of this size.
But after meeting you two face to face, we feel like we're in good hands on this one.
We won't let you down, sirs.
Not to mention your bid was far too attractive for us to pass up.
What did you mean by that exactly?
He means you boys lowballed the entire industry.
By how much?
You guys came in $53 million lower than the nearest competition.
Oh, okay.
Mother! Now to a question that still has no clear answer. How did two 20-something young men land a $300 million Pentagon contract?
I have a big idea.
They call guys like us war dogs. Bottom feeders who make money off of war without ever stepping foot on the battlefield. Show you about my soldier. It was meant to be derogatory, but we kind of liked it. We don't
play fair. Sorry, excuse me. Kind of an emergency.
Sorry, don't worry, I have to go first. I'm American.
Give me some of that. Give me some of that. Give me some of that. We got delirious.
You seriously want to drive to Baghdad?
David, we're gun runners. Let's go run some guns.
Give me some of that. 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 Give me some of that.
You're getting closer. Come on, man. Go. Let me go.
You drove these through the triangle of death.
Triangle of death, bro?
We drive through all triangles, including your mom's.
All right, back to our loving host, Andrew, worried or excited about War Dogs.
So did you see that half of this trailer is slow motion laughing?
Yes.
Do you think that the half the movie will be slow motion laughing?
If half the movie is slow motion Jonah Hill shooting a gun into the air and cackling like a madman, I'm in.
Yeah. I'm pretty excited. I feel like I'd really like to watch this movie with Ivan, because Ivan's laugh makes me laugh, and I feel like he'd laugh quite a bit. Jonah Hill's fake tan spray is funny to me. This whole thing, everything's hitting the right humor notes for me. Finally, this is like the first comedy that I feel like I'm all in.
Yeah, he's back.
I'm all in, excited.
Fat. He's back to full fat now.
Yeah.
You can get nice and excited for him.
I can.
Yeah. I'm with you. Although I feel like I have a more tempered excitement. Like I can feel my body wanting to be really excited about this because I like both the guys and I want it to be really funny. I feel like it's not going to quite meet my expectations, but I'm still going to go ahead and go excited on this one too. Like I said, handful of slow motion Jonah Hill shooting guns and cackling scenes, and that'll be enough for me. Ivan?
Ivan.
Yeah, I think they picked the perfect people to play the characters in this movie. I'm pretty excited. I actually think I'll go watch this. There was one scene that looked a little odd. It looked like Miles Teller was giving Jonah Hill a slow-mo hand job in the car while they were both laughing.
Can we watch it again?
Yeah. And I might just go see it, see that happen.
It's like, just blow me, bro. Blow me in the triangle of death, bro.
Oh, it's so hot in here.
Get that donkey dick. Get that donkey dick.
Hey, Krill, bring us down. Let's end this on a sour note like you always do.
Shit all over it, you piece of shit.
I feel like this movie, the only funny parts are already in the trailer.
Say something new.
I feel like I'm going to watch this movie in the theater, and it's not going to be funny enough, and I'm going to go run pee and get some popcorn and do a slow motion jerk off session with a stranger in the bathroom because I am Krill. Ah,
there you go.
Donkey,
so that's a worry.
Donkey dickin' motherfucker. You know what, gentlemen?
I'll mark that down.
I'm the only one here who apparently watches movie trailers and has seen more than one trailer for these movies, and I've seen the other trailers for this movie, and every other trailer of this movie would make each and every one of you worried.
Yeah, that's why I said tempered. I could kind of feel that.
That this movie trailer is done very well. I love watching this trailer. I'm going to love watching this trailer more than I'm going to enjoy watching this movie. I am a fuddy-duddy. I'm worried about War Dogs.
It's going to be an American Ultra?
American Ultra has Jesse Eisenberg and Kristen Stewart and a whole bunch of other problems that would, you know, imply.
But that trailer.
Yeah, the trailer was good. Oh, okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah, the trailer was really top-notch, and the movie itself was...
It's okay.
Unnecessary.
It was disappointing, especially since Stewart was like the best part.
Kristen Stewart was the best part? Wow. That could be like Kristen Stewart's the best part worried. Like you could put that into a worried line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was actually on board with that movie until about halfway through, and then it like really kind of offensively shat the bed for me.
Hmm. How was Topher Grace? I was holding out hope.
Yeah, I didn't really give him much to do. He's just like a whiny guy that walkie-talkies orders against them.
Yeah, see, same thing. I look at this War Dogs and I say, this should be good, but will it be?
Well, we'll find out.
It won't. It won't be.
Buddy daddy.
Daniel, it's time to dip your feet in.
Andrew, yeah, first you want to take your shoes and your socks off first. That was a terrible mistake on your part.
Right. I do make those. Krill's throwing me off.
Get those toesies in there, those little tootsies.
We're going to turn things down a little bit, not be so aggressive. We'll get into the burden list. Have some fun.
This is about relaxing, taking your pants off, and putting your hand very high on your friend's thigh.
Mm-hmm. So the burden list is a list of items that needs to be appreciated and require the insight and understanding of a gentleman in order to be removed from the list. So we're going to put some options up. You guys have movies that you force each other to watch.
Yeah, that's
to have some options.
That's the skeleton of what we do here on the bird list, is that we have movies that we force each other to watch. That's why they're burdens.
Yeah.
But sometimes we really appreciate them. And it's like opening our eyes to things we would never experience on our own. There is a point to all of this. What's going up?
What is going up? Krill, why don't you give some options?
I'm sorry? Our...
You specifically told me that the burden list was still yours.
Did you not watch a burden movie?
Well, no, this is the host.
I've watched burden movies.
The host is the one responsible for putting movies up on the movie on the burden list and taking movies off of the burden list, not the intern. That's not the intern's role.
The intern's role is the hosting section.
The intern is responsible for the archive update, which I have prepared for because I am the intern. Krill, I am not the host.
Going to six.
So
yeah, looks like
no movie off the burden list was watched by the intern. Was a movie on the burden list watched by the host?
Oh, I've watched movies on the burden list. Yeah.
Oh well, please take one down.
But putting one up. It looks like Daniel. You can choose any movie you want to watch.
What?
And put it on your burden list.
Oh my God! You little.
Do you want,
I knew
any?
Do you want me to? Do you want me to throw? Do you want me to throw something together here really quickly?
No. I don't want you to do that. I want Daniel to just watch any movie he wants to watch.
Oh, okay, but it has to be a movie.
Preferably something with some color. Because I know you've been watching a lot of drama. It's a lot of boring.
It has to be a movie he's never seen before.
Oh, that's no problem.
What about Pitch Perfect?
What? Why are you even talking?
Plus, yeah. Shut it down, Krill. Daniel, what would you like to watch that you haven't seen before?
Oh God, there are so many. I'm gonna have to just make a list, send it over to Sad Sack, and get it approved.
No, decision has to be made on the podcast. That's a rule. That's in the fine print, what? The regulations.
Why are you talking right now?
Yes, why are you talking? Why don't you give me some options for something to go up and think about it while I'm all over the ones that you're giving me?
Searching for Bobby Fischer.
And Ivan, I want, like, any time that the intern speaks, I want you just raise your hand up, but don't actually hit him. Just make him flinch.
But yeah, cowering. The theory of everything.
Back to your safe box, Krill.
Silver Linings Playbook.
That's enough. We've heard enough.
Yeah, the donkeys await.
The Big Short.
Oh, that's a good idea. Get a donkey awake. It'll distract him.
Here, let's do a road theme. Do you want Road to Perdition, Reservation Road, or Revolutionary Road?
Hey, this is way out of bounds, Krill.
Yeah. First of all, can I take a moment here and just ask, what the fuck is actually happening? Who's watching what, and what are we doing?
Hey, ask the host.
So, why don't you give me some options here?
Take the Road to Perdition down Moonlight Mile towards the King's Speech.
Yeah, I can't say that I'm being as kind. Now, how does this work out? Now that when the roles swap back for next show, does this movie then transfer over to the... Well, I guess it would be then, right? It's a host burden. So if I were to, make it very obvious which of the three options would be a very bad watch for my cousin, and you chose it, it would then go on his burden list.
Yeah. That's exactly what's happening.
That's how I thought it would work. Okay, so tonight's theme, and this is weird because I don't actually like vampires, but the theme is vampires.
Oh, lovely.
And there are three movies for you to choose from. One of them I grew up with and I love and will say that it still holds up. One of them is terrible and nearly unwatchable. And the other one is fun and better than expected, even though people shit all over it. Now,
that one, I want that one. Krill wants the host to pick that one.
Now, again, option one is a relatively fun movie that I grew up with. And option three is a movie that people probably wanted to be better than it is, but it is by all means still a fun movie that I thought anyways. And it's completely absurd of a premise. And the one in the middle, number two, that's the one where a lot of people come together that are kind of good on their own and just made something terrible.
That one.
Are you sure? You want that one?
That's the one.
Okay. Now, let's hopefully it hasn't already been watched. It is Vampire in Brooklyn.
Vampire in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't seen that, so.
That's starring Eddie Murphy as a vampire, directed by Wes Craven. Good luck.
That is fantastic. I'm so happy to get some more color on this list here. All right. So, Daniel, you do have three options. Option one, you can choose yourself what you'd like to watch.
Do the road theme. Do the road theme.
Option two is you can choose a movie that you would like to watch. And option three is you can choose a movie that you'd like to watch.
Oh.
So which one do you want to take there?
I'm going to go with option number one, please.
Road to Perdition. And
so what movie are you watching?
I am watching
Chinatown.
Batman vs. Superman.
Batman vs. Superman goes up for Daniel. All right. Krill, let's lead this along here.
Okay. What comes down? The host was supposed to watch a movie if one's supposed to come down. What did you watch?
Who's you?
The host. You're the host. Did you watch a movie to come off the burden list?
Yes, I did.
Oh, what did you watch?
I watched The Giver.
The Giver.
Wait, does this mean it actually comes off without me having to watch it?
Careful.
Come on.
Maybe you didn't watch anything.
Come on.
Yeah, it looks like I didn't actually watch anything.
Daddy.
We're going to six.
Daddy wants a new pair of shoes. Come on.
Looks like we're going to six.
Fucking motherfuckers.
So lazy. I just irresponsible couldn't get around to watching host. Something this week.
Ivan, what a terrible host. Say something.
Quiet, Krill.
Wow. Wow.
Daniel, did you watch a movie this week?
Balls on this one.
Oh, intern, do you want to guess what movie he watched?
Oh, let me look at how much time, how long each movie is. That'll tell me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that he felt compelled and drawn towards Little Children.
Ooh, it was close. It was between Little Children and what I actually watched, which was 3 o'clock High. And right away, it struck me as weird because you usually don't know any 80s movies other than Back to the Future and Indiana Jones. So I was wondering how you found one that's completely in the vein of an 80s comedy, because it is one. And I hadn't seen it. Actually, I truly hadn't seen it. I remember the end scene. For some reason, I'd seen the end scene from some part in my past, but I was like surprised that I didn't remember anything about this movie because I'd never seen it before. And I don't know if this is something that you like this film for, like the clips that you pulled from it, those quotes and stuff were great. But I really like the way this movie is directed and edited. It seems like weirdly ahead of its time for, it was like 1987, but it has this like very quick cut, sharp focus. Like, it uses editing in a way that most films are too lazy to do. It uses it to build momentum and build intensity and like make the shots sharper as the feeling gets sharper. It's very well done for just a movie about a kid having a super shitty day at school. And I don't know. Yeah, it was all there. I thought it was really well done. I had a good time with it. And I know I had to go look up a bunch of shit on this movie because I know that guy that plays the bully, Buddy Ravel, he shows up in like B action movies forever. He is always like a thick jawed dude with a gun in some bullshit sci-fi movie somewhere. But the director on this is kind of a weird guy. He's done a bunch of like weird shit and like music videos for U2 and other random films. And other than The Veil, which he made most recently, which kind of tanked, everything else on IMDb pulls in like an average of a 7.0 for all of his works. This guy makes just randomly pretty good movies all throughout his career until just recently. It's very strange. I don't know how you slipped this one in or how you found it and I didn't know about it, but yeah, good job. I like 3 o'clock High.
Cool. It sounds like you definitely appreciated this enough to come off the list.
Absolutely.
So you definitely stay at five, and with my incompetence, looks like I'm going to six for the second time.
Oh, well, that's what you get.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch. Yeah, you know what? I actually don't really remember a lot about 3 o'clock High, and I should really rewatch it. But I do remember catching parts of it throughout my childhood. You know, it was one of those like Sunday afternoon movies where it was just on TV.
Yeah.
And always better than I anticipated it to be. It just kind of sucked you in and involved you. And I really liked Jerry and felt really bummed out that the fight had to happen. The whole movie's like this daunting, there's a fight at 3 o'clock. Like, yeah, it's just tragic. Constantly
checking in with the clock all the time and you're just like, eh.
Yeah, this like tragic, daunting fight by the bike racks that's looming throughout the entire movie. And you like Jerry, and he just puts his foot in his mouth. He just fucks himself over with this Buddy Revelle fucker. But in the end,
and he doesn't overdo it. Like when he fucks it up, he does it in a very natural way.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh shit.
Yeah, it's one of those 80s movies that just not a lot of people know about for some reason, but it fucking executes on like a John Hughes level. Like, this should be in the same conversation as The Breakfast Club, this movie, but it's not. Nobody knows it exists, but it's really that good. It's on the same level.
Yeah, and at first you start off being like, well, what's the big deal? I mean, you go at the 3 o'clock, you go outside, you take a couple of punches, principal runs out. But no, this movie makes a point of showing you as it gets closer and closer to 3 o'clock that this dude will like just pummel the fuck out of somebody. And you get really scared. You're like, oh no, he could die.
yeah, though they make the threat real for sure. Yeah, I like that.
Cool. So let's wrap this up with some useless what we would call history, I guess.
Oh god, is this still a thing?
Well, we could just cancel it.
You guys
and end this.
You guys want to do the Intern Archive update? The Krill edition?
Krillex? This dubstep remix?
Do you guys want the Krill edition of the Intern Archive update? I've prepared.
Mm-hmm. Krill 2.0. Whoa, 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 whoa.
I have to get the go ahead from the hosts, both of them.
Let's take it away, Krill.
Okay. I'm going to do a rendition here just a second. On my own, so I can update this archive now. Oh, don't you know that you guys are wrong all the time? And I'm going to let you know in my archive. Oh. All right. Yeah, so...
What episode are we on?
Oh, you know, you should have sang that to this.
On my own.
Archive.
Archive now. Okay. The Internet Archive Update episode 29 is in reference to Trailer Park Podcast 29. The lineup for Trailer Park Podcast 29 was headlined by Terminator Genesis. It was followed by me and Earl and the dying girl. The fulcrum for 29 was The Harvest. Larry Gay came in like a renegade male flight attendant at number 4.
What happened
and,
to that thing?
Gabriel got in the bathtub and stared really hard at those sharp objects in the final trailer. Gentlemen, wow, what a lineup, first of all, right?
So memorable.
Just krilling it. What do we got here? I'm having a little bit of trouble reading it. It looks like the intern gave himself a point and zeroed out Daniel and Nathan. Oh, no, I'm wrong. Everybody was worried about Terminator Genesis, and everybody got a point. Okay. Well, I mean, hey.
This is your section. Can you do it right?
Well.
I thought you said you were prepared.
I am prepared. What's going on here? I am prepared.
Oh.
But I don't think it was necessary to watch Terminator Genesis to know that it was a piece of shit. Can I get some feedback from somebody that's actually watched Terminator Genesis? Have you seen it?
No.
No? Daniel, have you seen Terminator Genesis?
No, I have not.
Okay, well, the previous intern's review here says that some of the special effects were really special, and making Arnie fight his younger self looked really good, and Daenerys Targaryen was fun to watch. However, the movie is just more of the same, and he would like to be done with Terminator moving forward, please. Really? Just done? Are you guys done with Terminator?
Yeah, actually, a little bit.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Now, if it's at 5, I'm willing to just let it continue as long as it wants to. It's in that 3-4 area where you're like, are you gonna do it? You gonna make a fucking franchise? And then once it hits 5, you're like, all right, go ahead.
Like, I think
just like Leprechaun the shit out of this.
Yeah.
Terminator in space.
Terminator in the hood.
Yeah. Terminator in the hood too.
I think that it's hung on to Arnold too much. That they needed to let him go and move on, and they didn't.
Oh.
And now
he's back for good.
Now it's been like, you know, made too dependent on his existence, and it's just that's why it's done.
Can't we just get a new like Eastern European dude? Like, just go over there and just pluck up a thick-necked Eastern European guy and be like, "Hey, we're gonna put guns in your hands and put cameras around your body."
Yeah, you don't
go.
Have to say anything.
Hey,
just
stand there.
I think at this point we should start cloning specific Hollywood movie stars.
Ooh, and interbreeding them like Pokemon.
Oh shit!
Oh god.
We can make like. Arnold Lundgren.
What's anyway? So what are we dealing with here? We're dealing with a worried 111%, 25% on Rotten Tomatoes, 6.6 on IMDb, and The Intern gave it a +1.
6.6. That's a big difference from Rotten Tomatoes.
Generous, right? It's because people enjoy movies more than critics do. It's reflected in a lot of different scenarios.
They are very cynical.
It's because people watch movies less than critics do.
And here we go. The song and dance. Me and Earl and the Dying Girl. This movie won the episode, as it was by far the best movie that the intern has seen since whenever. So Greg is forced to become friends with a dying girl, Rachel, and ends up having the first real relationship with a person that he's ever had through her. You get to see some films getting made by a student and relationships with many characters that don't really influence Greg aside from Rachel. It's a funny, happy, sad, upsetting movie. All feelings I like to experience. Jesus Christ. This is intern approved.
Yeah. Yeah. He wrote that with a quill while he like snapped one of his suspenders and took a drag off of a long stem pipe.
The point is that Nathan and Daniel were both worried. The intern was jerking off on this all over it during the episode. 82% Rotten Tomatoes, 7.8 on IMDb, and a +2 from the intern. You celebrated this movie in this description, Andrew, and yet it doesn't even get a +3.
It's close.
It's close to a +3.
As close as it can get, I think.
All right. So Nathan and Daniel are both still at 1, and the intern has a 2. Oh, wow. The intern gave himself more points than everybody else. That's
surprise, surprise.
Surprise, surprise.
Must be rigged.
Yeah, it must be rigged. The Harvest.
Stop to this.
The Harvest. This is that Michael Shannon horror movie.
Yeah, the horror. Yeah, I could have argued this one, I think.
Yeah, we talked about how Michael Shannon, what did we say in the episode? That Michael Shannon
has a spot in the horror.
Yeah, he has a spot in the horror genre. He has a seat reserved in the front row of the horror genre. Oh, yeah. Just like waiting for him. If he ever wants to sit in it and embrace that genre, He's got a reserved seat.
Yeah, it's like a respectful ritual that everyone follows. They're like, where's Michael Shannon's chair? Like, it's offensive when it's not it's not immediately put out.
Michael Shannon didn't actually get crazy at all in this movie.
What a missed opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
We get to see what happens when a family makes the ultimate sacrifice and steals a child, raising him as their own so that they can harvest his organs to give their genetically comatose son his organs? No idea that's what this was about. Some great performances, including a child performance. Hey, you don't like children actors. What the fuck?
Generally, no.
Okay.
He's been warming up, I feel like.
Samantha Morton and Michael Shannon knock it out of the park as usual. Okay. He's being honorable here. He's saying that Nathan and Daniel were excited. He was worried, and it levels out. We're all at 2-2-2.
Ooh.
Okay, he's admitting he was wrong. That's very human. That doesn't seem right.
Hey, getting a little uppity there.
Yeah. Okay, so Larry Gay, renegade male flight attendant.
Where'd it go?
I can't serve drinks to minors. He's got a minor hat.
Oh, my God, your fake laugh is terrifying.
Yeah.
I was imagining being a small boy with my hands bound and you come in the room like that with two popsicles.
That was Nathan convincing me to be excited. That's what that was.
Yep. Nathan and Andrew were both excited. Daniel stayed true to worried, and Daniel, it paid off. The intern gave it a zero, and you are in the lead. 3-2.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything about that movie since we watched the trailer for it. And you brought that trailer to me, and that was the only time I ever saw that trailer. So that's a weird. Were you even able to watch it? Does it exist?
Hey, don't attack the integrity of the lineup. All right, Larry Gay was an important member.
It's one. There's one on the next episode also that there's no rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
I feel like if I walked into a room and I saw a donkey fucking Larry Gay, it would make sense. Anybody else with me on that? No.
Like asshole. Ha ha.
Yeah. Yeah. Gabriel, that movie with Rory Culkin. About that incredibly depressed young man that wants to cut himself. This movie's all about depression and mental instability, so obviously we were all excited about it. It scored an 83% on Rotten Tomatoes, a 6.4 on IMDb, so less than Terminator Genesis. Scored a +1 from the intern. And, he managed to deliver points across the board. So we're dealing with a Daniel win for the Intern Archive update for Trailer Park Podcast 29. Daniel, you are the winner of Trailer Park Podcast 29, 4-3-3. Daniel, winner, tell us how you feel.
I'd rather be dead than your slave.
Feels good, Krill. Feels good.
Feels good. Would you like to know that you're still 6% behind Nathan?
Yeah. I mean, the points don't reflect that I have better taste, but that's...
Hey, we're talking about 145 selections, 6% ahead. Like, really, yeah. drink in the difference there. 145, 6% is pretty big. It's a pretty big gap. You're going to have some trouble closing that gap, I think.
Well, it's because you and Andrew, you know, anytime the movie comes on where a couple is fighting and a child goes missing and there's dark music, you both lose your shit. And you I just fucking love that shit. Not my problem.
Intern's coming out of the gate pretty strong, 65%. In fact, everyone else, Chelsea 64%, Amanda 70%. Daniel, you're in last place overall. Like, we can celebrate your victory here, and I would be the first one to raise a glass, but you're pulling up the rear overall in the overall standing.
Well, Nathan, sorry, Krill, it's only going to take Nathan 2 episodes of zeroing out for Daniel to catch up, which is a distinct possibility.
Fingers crossed for shitting the bed.
Yeah.
Is that it? Is that all that we do here, Andrew?
Why don't you let everyone know where they can reach us all at?
All right. As usual, you can head over to trailerparkpodcast.com.
Oh, that's a www.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Don't forget the W's. If you just put in trailerparkpodcast.com, it goes straight to child porn.
That's and donkey dicks.
Yeah.
Is that Ivan's website?
Donkey dicks?
Oh, now it's the FBI's website. Okay, yeah. Trailerparkpodcast.com. Send us some email. Trailerparkpodcast@gmail.com.
Is that a question?
Yeah. I'm never sure when it's just... T Park Podcast.
Yeah. No, Park Podcast. At T Park Podcast on Twitter, trailerparkpodcast@gmail.com is the email address. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, please. You do this part. You do it.
Okay. follow Daniel at 100 Lunatics. Follow the mothership at Sad Sack Studios. Follow Andrew at the intern TPP. Follow me at T Park Podcast or I Hate Horror. Ivan at 5 gamers, but it's not actually 5, it's only 4, but your thing is 5.
Right, because hey. You, the listener, are the 5th.
Oh, shit! Which gamer are you?
Oh, I'm number 1.
I'm a girl gamer.
Did you just come up with that? No. That the audience is the fifth gamer?
No, you guys came up with it last time.
Oh, really?
You provided me inspiration.
I provide. We provide. It probably wasn't me. It was probably Daniel.
Oh. One of you two. Definitely wasn't the intern.
Okay, good.
I just put that out there.
Okay, definitely. And Andrew didn't want me to say anything or anyone to say anything, but this is the result of a bet. All right? He won a bet. That's why he's a host. This is the last time it's ever going to happen unless we make another bet where I lose.
There's another bet?
Which I'm not going to do. I'm not going to lose another bet. Probably not. Oh, I have one more thing to do. I have one more thing to do before we close out as Krill. As Krill the intern, I would like to make one last entry before we sign off tonight, gentlemen. I'd like to make an apology to Mad Max.
Fury Road. Buzz this. No.
I am sorry. To Mad Max Fury Road. For going to the bathroom and peeing during its performance in the theater. I was ignorant, and when I came out of the bathroom and continued to shit on it in my mind, I realized in that moment that I was blocked, and I was unable to see the genius that was being cascaded in front of me, and there was no way for me to ever truly appreciate it moving forward because of my obtuse, ignorant nature. It took many, many Oscar nominations and wins for me to finally see a crack in the darkness, a light that illuminated all around me and spoke to me to say, hey, truth is but a whisper in the wind, and you need to listen.
For fuck's sake.
You need to listen hard before you can understand the depth of what you are seeing, because there is many, many finer moments inside of a car chase. Regardless of how long the car chase is, there are moments that deserve celebration. There is cinematography that deserves celebration. There is cinematic celebration in general that needs to be appreciated. And you just can't dismiss things without taking a step back in order to take two steps forward. And I am sorry. I am sorry for being so obtuse and ignorant and not being able to see through the darkness that is my life. That makes me want to contemplate suicide, not just on a squad level, but on every level. I love Mad Max Fury Road now. I've come a full circle, and I appreciate that everyone loves it except me, and that I relent. I give in. I'm sorry. I now love Mad Max Fury Road. I now love it. I love Tom Hardy. I love Charlize Theron. I love sand. I love car chases. I love guitars and bungee cords. I love all of it.
Yes, okay. Everyone, Krill. Everyone, please send your copies of Mad Max to the intern.
As a final step on the host here, I just want to get everyone to make sure you go and listen to Trailer Park Podcast number 24, where I stand by what I said, saying that the Water Diviner does and will mean more to Australians than Mad Max ever will. Quote. Right from 24, from host's mouth.
Try to ignore the part about the analogy of ejaculation with the water. Try to ignore that part.
The earth is coming.
Yeah, try to avoid the whole earth is coming part. Focus on the apology that's being mentioned here tonight about Mad Max. The fury was deep inside, and it has been. We're letting go of the fury.
Okay,
we're traveling the road, the Revolutionary Reservation Perdition Road. Hey, Andrew, go Nathan. Fuck yourself.
Wow, prodigious booby, sis.
Okay, I'm leaving forever.
You shut your fucking mouth.